Hello, dear viewers, it's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel once again. Woo, a new t-shirt, you won't often see that. Okay, read that in Greek if you can. Anyhow, so this video is about whether the Russian will to fight is flagging, because President Putin said the other day that he might be amenable to peace talks with Ukraine. But you may remember Kiev's position, it shall only parley with the Putin regime once Russia has unequivocally and unconditionally withdrawn from the entirety of Ukraine's national territory. And that includes the Crimean Peninsula, which, of course, Russia annexed in 2014 and claimed as Russian sovereign soil, which it was for only 180 years at the end of the 1950s. Anyway, remember, in September last year, they staged a referenda in the illegally occupied territories and was superintended by the Russian occupation authorities in Kherson, Zaporizhia, Donetsk and Luhansk, and claim that they've all been integrated into the Russian Federation. So these five regions that Ukraine wants back, Russia doesn't want to cede. Why is Putin even talking about it? Now, the pessimistic view is it's really out of courtesy towards his African guests. Remember, he hosted this Russia-African summit the other day in St. Petersburg, his hometown, and only 17 African heads of state came. Well, that's quite a lot out of 54. Now, China's been doing this for over 20 years. France used to do it around the millennium. India's done it in the last few years. They recognize that Africa's the only continent really up for grabs. It's still quite economically underdeveloped, and a little money can go a long way, but rich in natural resources. Other countries like the European Union, which overlaps with NATO to a considerable degree, there's not really much leeway there for China or Russia or India to make inroads, gaining allies, something like that. Even in the Latin American continent or the Far East, these countries are often kind of locked into alliances and blocks. Not to say that they're unwillingly, but they're, what's a better metaphor to say? They've married into these things. So obviously ending the Black Sea Grain Initiative did not play well with countries in Africa, even which are relatively well-disposed towards Russia. Eritrea was the only country in Africa to vote for Russia in the United Nations when there was that vote condemning the illegal invasion of Ukraine way back in 2022. So there is some sign that there's more weariness on the Russian side. They've lost their numerical advantage in artillery and in armor, and it's thought that they can produce far fewer than are being destroyed each month. Now, the rate they're being destroyed could go down as the Ukrainians poorly perform, or they're just fewer tanks on the Russian side, a fewer artillery pieces to be destroyed. The Ruskies might become more circumspect, withdraw them. They could increase the rate they're producing them. Now, the 70th anniversary of the end of the Korean War was the other day, and the Russians sent Sergei Shoigu, their defense minister, to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, commonly called North Korea, to celebrate what the North Koreans claim is their victory over American fascism. But it was suspected by United States intelligence, this is also, he's going there as a cap in hand, to most humbly supplicate the North Koreans to sell them some hardware. Now, the North Koreans, their armory is often Soviet-era manufactured weaponry, which the Russian military could still use. So for Russia to buy back some of its exports to North Korea, because they need it, they know how to use it. Often, if it's even shells, it's compatible with the artillery pieces that Russia already has. Now, even if it weren't for that, would Shoigu have gone to North Korea? He probably would have done. Remember, North Korea is one of only a handful of countries to vote Russia's way on the Ukraine issue in the United Nations General Assembly, the others being Nicaragua, Belarus, Iran. Is that it? I think that's your lot. The others were neutral. So Putin felt he had to give something to these African countries, but the war is genuinely going badly, which is not to say Russia's about to be defeated, but you know the 48-hour victory? Well, a far cry from that one. And the Ukrainians, they are gaining ground on their counteroffensive, but slowly. But people were saying the other day, I don't know if this is true, this is it, it's really hotted up. Even Putin said it's intensified, that the Ukrainians have finally committed some of their Western-trained brigades. They'd suffered significant losses in tanks and armoured personnel carriers, infantry fighting vehicles, the Ukrainians, in the first few days, because the Russian defences are just so difficult to get through, but they're not insuperably difficult. And maybe therefore they're finally going to get somewhere. Could they get to the Sea of Azov? So then that would really jeopardise Crimea. The bridge would be easily in range. Incidentally, the United States refused to supply ATACMS, a longer-range missiles, which would have taken out that bridge at the beginning of the war, or fired deep into Russia. And they could obviously provide these things to the Ukrainians with a stipulation, you shan't fire them into Russia. Obviously, Russia claims that Crimea is Russia. But the Ukrainians have been firing them all the time, and the Ruskies have not gone neutral. There have been more and more Ukrainian drone attacks deeper and deeper into Russia. And Taranog the other day in the Rostov-na-Donu region recently, one of the Moscow airports was shut again today by a drone even coming near. You don't have to kill a single person, don't have to injure a single person, don't have to damage a single plane or building. The very fact that it's anywhere near, and they'll shut down the airport. Now, there are 4 civilian airports in Moscow. You could do more of them. This is increasingly inconvenient. And who on earth is going to fly to Moscow? So, I mean, Russia's lost 95% of their tourist trade. 95%. Those are going mostly Chinese and Indians. And they might not be going to Moscow. Go to Siberia, far away from the war zone. When is it ever going to recover? If the war ends today, Russian tourism will take at least a decade to recover. So, and the sanctions are biting a bit. They say that Russia might be facing hyperinflation. Methinks that's over-optimistic, not anti-Russian, they don't want to suffer. I want the war to end now. And if we can end the war without killing a single person, simply by hurting Russia financially, so much the better. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but inflation will get a bit worse. But they have tried really hard to keep inflation down and been quite successful on that. And just that the war is becoming too costly. The oil and gas revenues are down. And yes, they're selling more to India and China. But there are various wildcard factors. How severe is this winter going to be? Right, because Western countries, the European ones really, not Canada, the USA, that purchased oil and gas from Russia were lucky because a relatively mild winter last one, although it did last quite long, it was cold well into March. If this winter is averagely cold, more oil, gas, coal is going to have to be used. Energy price will be higher. If it's a severely cold winter, that might even break Western will. Putin might be in a stronger position. And I don't think the meteorologists can predict even this far out. It's not going to be like 3 months at least till winter's beginning, just how bad it's going to be. Is it going to reach breaking point? People say, okay, we'll settle, we'll reduce arms shipments, we'll loosen sanctions if you sell us more oil, gas, and coal. There doesn't seem to be any talk of actually reducing the oil price cap, the $60 per barrel cap. If that was reduced further, it would dent Russia's economy even more. It would restrict the amount of revenue. So they're having to cut back spending in other areas. It's already unpopular. They're having to raise the conscription age to get more men in. So that is problematic for them. And it's only going to get worse. Are there any bright spots on the horizon for Russia? I mean, yes, if the Ukrainian counteroffensive fails, and there's quite a significant chance of that, or if Western will gradually diminishes. There's not been much of a diminution, but it might do if this counteroffensive fails, because how much longer are Western countries willing to arm and fund Ukraine? To string it out for another 6 months, for another year, 2 years, 3 years, what? While suffering the pain of sanctions, because obviously they're Russian counter-sanctions. And if you're not purchasing Russia's exports, then you're having to buy things elsewhere. Laws of supply and demand, and the prices have gone up. So Putin, he might be willing to settle. He said he's open to China playing the honest broker. Remember, the Chinese foreign minister visited both Kiev and Moscow a few months ago, but his diplomacy didn't go anywhere. Putin, I think the red line for me is he's got to keep Crimea, because he had that before this war began in earnest in 2022. The other 4 regions, he could work something out. Could they be United Nations Trust territories? Could they be a neutral zone, a demilitarized zone? Could they agree to disagree? Would Ukraine recognize the Luhansk People's Republic, the Donetsk People's Republic? Now, at the moment, Zelensky is saying, no way, not an inch, because nobody dies for a compromise. You die for victory. And if he did ink some sort of agreement like that, he might be lynched by his own side. But we might have to get real. That's what he might be willing to settle for, or the United Nations troops being there, Ukraine joining the European Union but agreeing never to join NATO. Other things that the European Union should have done long ago. If they're not taking Ukraine in as a member, not for a few years at least, they could say you can join the Eurozone, because then whatever happens, we know you can't have hyperinflation, the Russians can't ruin your currency or something like that. So I think Putin is open to negotiations, but the Ukrainians say they're not at the moment, because they're banking on this counteroffensive succeeding, which might happen, and then put them in a much stronger position were it to come to negotiations. So I think if Putin thinks he can find a face-saving way of doing it, he'd do it. Now, he has made noises like this before, but I think this time is a little bit more serious for some of the reasons I've adumbrated here and before. So everybody, make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgegallant79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.